The Lord is with us, heart dwellers. And one of the things he wants to do tonight is he wants to explain some of the differences in timing that he's talked about with the rapture. Because there's been a lot of doubt and skepticism voiced about the messages. He really wants to clarify that he has been speaking to us. It's the 11th of August, 2015. I've been feeling the need to repeat some of what the Lord has told us since April or so, and tonight he confirmed it as I waited for the message. He wants me to talk about the delayed rapture and about rapture timing and rapture yo-yos and rapturitis and the whole ball of wax. So I'm going to repeat a few things, and I feel the Holy Spirit has given me a perspective on this that's important for all of us to see. First of all, I want to confess to you that I struggle just as you do with the rapture yo-yo. But here's the thing. If we're truly dwelling in his heart, and he is in our hearts, we're going to feel when the time approaches. There's going to be a quickening in our spirits as we get close. And indeed, we've had several quickenings since the blood moons last year, when I first came on board with messages from him. I knew in my spirit, man, that there would be no rapture in the fall. I just had that feeling deep inside, and his messages were confirming that, even though the hype out there was unbearably tempting to fall into. But when the fall came and went and there was no rapture, then all the focus shifted to Passover in the springtime. And when that happened and the springtime was coming around, I felt something different. I felt something huge was looming on the horizon. And I really expected the rapture to happen on Passover or right about that time. Well, that was a letdown. And just like you, I was thinking, what am I, a false prophet or what? Although the Lord never told me it would be then, I felt it strongly. Why? Because there was a chance we would indeed be raptured, I believe. Then there was a rash of wedding visions and dreams, and all of us were having visions of Jesus dancing with him at the wedding feast. And I especially remember him tying one of his shoes and coming in and out of the kitchen ready to serve his bride. All the signs were there from him. Finally, it's going to happen. And then we had that video on the dogwood tree being in full blossom when the rapture happened. So everyone was crestfallen when nothing happened. And the 28th of March, the message was, Jesus answers his bride, how to hear and see me, and rapture day has been set. Well, in this last video, the Lord told me that there had been a date set for the rapture, that it was coming, that the Father had given it to him, but that because of our prayers, it was put off. So that date was set, but then we went past it, and we all felt that really strong feeling that the rapture was going to happen. And then on the June 9th video, right in the time when I was getting all enthusiastic about taking off with the yard and getting it clean, he said, don't worry about a thing. Not the yard, not cleaning, not bills. You're seconds away from your departure. I was ready to get immersed in carnal, really worldly projects, and the Lord drew me back and said, no, I don't want that. I want prayer. I want rapture vigils, and I want prayer. I want you continuously in prayer, and I want you to limit the amount of things that you do outside of prayer severely. I want your focus to change and not be on the things of the world, but on the things that are important to me, because you don't have much time left. And I wasn't the only one that was feeling that. There were people all over the internet that felt it. So would he really want to say that if it wasn't set in stone? Would he really say that? You know, not the cleaning, not the yard, not the bills. Well, you have to know me because I'm compulsive. When he told me that, I put it all down. And later, I was given permission to have it taken care of by others. But yes, he would say that because I'd go off on a tangent and I wouldn't be praying as the time and the season required. So what is this? Is this a move of Satan to discourage and humiliate Christian prophets? If it was, it sure was working. Then one day in particular in prayer, I had the strongest feeling that it was about to happen. In fact, I had a dream that I was running around telling people the rapture's going to happen, the rapture's going to happen. That week passed and nothing happened. Now for sure I was humiliated and I began again to doubt myself, to doubt who I was speaking with. Lord, are you humbling me and allowing a deceiving spirit as you did with Saul? But I would come back to prayer again and I would come out knowing that I had not been misled and that there was a very good reason why it didn't happen. Mind you, each time we got rapturitis, we all buckled down, got more serious, not only about the Lord for our own walk, but for our loved ones. I can't tell you how many Christians were living in fornication and other serious sins, and they repented in the weeks that followed that humiliation of mine. I was getting emails from people who had been living in fornication for years, and they came under strong conviction they needed to get married. And everyone was concerned that they wouldn't be taken in the rapture. And I think when the Lord saw that, his heart was softened towards them. But let me continue with this. So why, oh why, didn't the rapture happen? Well, taking a look at false prophets, what do they do? What are they like? They were always the ones who told the king what he wanted to hear, when in truth they should have told the bad news. Obviously, the Lord wasn't leading me in that direction to flatter people and tell them everything was going to be prosperous and there was going to be a big revival and everything was going to be wonderful. He was not leading me in that direction. No, he was seriously warning and trying to prepare us. So that doesn't quite fit the profile of a false prophet. Then Jesus kept telling me he was allowing all these rapture alerts to prepare us because many were not prepared. And I began to see posts under our videos that if he had come for us even as late as May, certain people said they would not have been taken. So I could see how these videos were having an effect on people, that they were taking the rapture and the Lord more seriously. They were taking their salvation more seriously. And that's good fruit. It's so easy, though, to rationalize something and say, well, he didn't come because of this, or he didn't come because of that, or another thing. And all of that can be absolutely positively true, but sound like a heap of rationalizations, excuses, to cover up for bad discernment, or even deception. Even I was feeling that way. But every time I went back to him, I knew it truly was the Lord, and even though it looked bad, it was him. And I wasn't the only seer that was getting those same messages. So, I had to ask myself, is there a scriptural precedent for this kind of situation where the Lord is about to let the judgment fall, but he changes his mind? Well, I know that in the situation with Moses, that the Lord repented. The scriptures say the Lord repented of what he was going to do to the Israelites, and he was going to totally wipe them out and raise up a whole new nation through the line of Moses. And Moses interceded and he relented, and he didn't do that. But there's another one too, and that's Jonah. And he was crestfallen when Nineveh was not destroyed after his fiery preaching. Now, we all know the story about Jonah and the whale, so I'm going to skip that and get down to the meat of this. In Jonah chapters 3 and 4, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time after he'd been spit out of the whale's mouth. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. What? God changed his mind? That's what it says, verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Now, some would say that the destruction doesn't have anything to do with the rapture, but from the very beginning, since the Lord revealed the rapture to us because we were ignorant of it, he told us that there would be destruction preceding it, that there would be a nuclear war and nuclear exchange before the rapture. So that definitely ties in with the judgment falling. So again, Jonah prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said when I was still at home? And that's why I tried to forestall it by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. So here's a prophet that was incredibly humiliated because he went through the city preaching that it was they were going to perish. He did his job. He got the people to turn from sin. And now he wants to die for his job being successful. Why? Because he wasn't proven right by the city being destroyed. And the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah replies to that a little further down here. Then the Lord gave him an illustration of how he was behaving. The Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head and to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun arose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, and he said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. I'm so angry I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? And that's pretty much how the chapter ends. Basically, his ego was so damaged because God did not destroy the people that he just wanted to lay down and die. So the Lord visited him and rebuked him for his selfishness. And I want to say, when is a prophet a prophet? When he gets people to repent and what he prophesied doesn't come to pass? Or when everyone is wiped out under God's judgment, even after his warnings? So a prophet can either look good because those souls went to hell and came under judgment, Or if he does his job properly and the people repent, the Lord withholds judgment. He can be stoned for being a false prophet. Surely that's not the heart of God. He sends a prophet to correct the people so they'll repent. So if he does his job properly, judgment will be suspended or delayed. Sound familiar? I have never claimed to be a prophet. I am a bride, and the bride knows the groom intimately, and he shares his innermost thoughts with her, and I share them with you. And that's the first point I wanted to make. So the Lord repented, and he came back and said that in my last video, that the reason that these dates passed and nothing happened was because of the repentance of the people and the turning back to him that he saw. He was giving them more time. So now you're left with the discernment dilemma. Is all this rapture practice truly from the Lord, or a lying spirit being rationalized by a false prophet? But I would say, what has the Lord been teaching us ever since he gave me this assignment back in September? He has repeatedly called us to account, to examine our lives, to make sure we're ready when he comes. He's taught us to discern the truth from lies and virtue from a lukewarm life. If I were here for myself and deliberately trying to deceive you, all I would do is spit out fiery sermons on repentance and sin, with maybe a little love thrown in once in a while. But my whole approach would be the rapture, the judgments, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the tsunamis, over and over again, the aliens. That would be my focus. And maybe we'd have 50,000 subscribers instead of 9,000. Everyone would be hanging on my next word. But I encourage you to look at the fruit in your own lives. Are you closer to Jesus now than you've ever been? Do you see your faults and sins more clearly than ever? Is your prayer life deeper? Are you getting your own visitations from the Lord? In short, are you increasing in virtue and cleaning your bridal gown? Or are you titillated by the next juicy prophecy about Yellowstone taking down America, earthquakes in California, and the U.S. splitting down the middle, etc., etc.? Where have you grown? In curiosities or in virtue? Again and again, the Lord clearly states, by their fruit you will know them. A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit. I'm not blowing my own horn here. I'm defending the Lord's honor. He's been speaking to us clearly for months. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. So either the Lord has been faithful to lead you, and you are holier for it, or a lying spirit is leading you to become more holy. Come on, guys. Don't let the wolf pull the wool over your eyes. Continue to grow in holiness. Be forbearing with the Lord. Pay better attention when I give a message. The person who criticized me for being confused did so right under the video that totally clarified what the Lord was saying. How did that soul miss that? He explained clearly it was the mercy of the Father that forestalled the judgment, and that's why the dates kept passing us by. Because the Father had mercy on us again and again and again. Do we want mercy? If we want mercy, we have to show mercy to others. The shofar is going to sound. We will be taken up. But many who were not prepared almost a year ago are prepared now. Why? Because the Lord has been leading us that way all along. Don't be fooled by doubts. Use your discernment muscles and check the fruit out. Remember, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. I love you all dearly, and I'm only bringing this up to clear up your confusion, because Our God is not a God of confusion. He straightens out confusion, doesn't cause confusion. And he's been very careful to do that. So please go back and listen to a few of the videos where he explains what's going on and allow that to really sink in. And in the meantime, let's keep praying for more souls to come in. And when it's time, when Father says it's time, it will happen. Lord bless you, heart dwellers. Ezekiel and I love you dearly.